Lake Effect continues here on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Bonnie North. More than 400 homeless youth are on Milwaukee's streets each night, and current estimates say that more than 40% of them are LGBTQ. Many kids have been kicked out of their parental homes because of their orientation or their gender identity.
Courage Milwaukee, which seeks to provide a home for such children, was established by area foster parents who witnessed firsthand the detrimental effects homelessness had on their charges.
Brad Schlakowski and his husband Nick have purchased a property that they plan to turn into the brick-and-mortar home of Courage Milwaukee and the kids they serve. And one way they're raising funds to do that is a staged reading of The Laramie Project, the theater piece about the hate crime that killed Matthew Shepard, a gay man in Wyoming, 20 years ago.
Schlakowski and local actor and director Michael Stebbins join me in the studio to talk about the organization's mission and the reading. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Brad, I'm going to start with you. Can you explain what Courage Milwaukee is and how this foundation came to be?
Absolutely. Courage Milwaukee, we are working to serve the displaced LGBTQ plus youth in our communities. My husband and I started it because we were foster parents. And the teenagers that we were welcoming into our homes would tell us horrific stories of being kicked out or being rejected from shelters around the community. So we knew that we could only take one at a time at our house. So the idea to open the Courage House here in Milwaukee is how it came to be.
And how long ago was that epiphany for you guys? And what's the stage that it's at right now?
Sure. We started Courage in December of 15. We thought we had a six-year plan to open a house, but the community has been so fantastic and literally just wrapped their arms around us like a big bear hug that we purchased the property in February of this year. Right now, we're going through a whole lot of renovations. There's two houses on the property and licensing, so our goal date to open the doors is February 1st.
Fantastic. So with the homeless youth population in Milwaukee, there's over 400 homeless youth on the streets any given night. And estimations put that over 40% identify as LGBTQ. And, you know, in the age of, people always say, oh, well, it's 2018. How can this be a problem, anymore?
Right.
Why do you think that this problem just kind of gets unaddressed previously or put to the side, that people think that, no, getting kicked out of your home because of who you are doesn't happen anymore?
I think that, first, that 40% is a nationwide number, right? Just larger in certain larger cities. But 26% of that 40 have said that they are on the streets because their parents rejected them. And that is a recent, within the last couple of years, number. And the numbers keep coming out throughout the country, and it's the same, and it remains the same. And that's only the kids that we can find, right? That doesn't count the thousands that are couch surfing or jumping from house to house every week.
Right. We may not think of being homeless. The common image the public has is someone is literally sleeping on the street, begging.
Right.
They're not thinking of displacement necessarily as being homeless,
right?
Staying on your friends' couches, going from home to home, but not having a true,
exactly,
regular place.
Exactly. Or a family.
Or a family. Yeah.
yeah. It's mind-boggling to me. I can't imagine excommunicating any of my own personal children. Granted, I'm part of the LGBTQ plus community, but it comes down to talking about it, right? So the example I give all the time is my husband and I, before we became foster parents, we had no idea how many kids were in the foster system in Milwaukee alone, right? We're over 3,000 a day that are in foster care. So then when we started Courage MKE and we started looking at the statistics, well, I've lived in Milwaukee my entire life. I had no idea, over 500 kids are on the street every night. And for them to identify as LGBTQ plus within that 500, Milwaukee's a serious hub for sex trafficking in our country. So they say that we have 72 hours to get these kids off the street from the time they leave the front door to 72 hours before they resort to some sort of sexual act just to get a pillow or a piece of food to eat. And that's why we started Courage at first. We started it with no money. Our goal was to just educate this community of how severe this problem was. And I'm very proud of our board of directors. I'm proud of my husband and I. The communication and the conversations are happening right now. And I think it's more so in Milwaukee than it's ever been.
I feel that a particular strength in the LGBTQ community is that aspect of creating your own family.
Absolutely.
Of creating a new safe space for
Absolutely.
You. So how important is that to communicate to the kids who, you know, maybe they have heard faint whispers of this house to come or are just learning what kind of resources are available to them?
I think you hit the nail on the head with that. You know, oftentimes we're asked, well, what if someone comes to your house that doesn't identify as LGBTQ? Well, if they knock on our door, we're going to open the door and let them in. We're going to work with our partners within the community to find them a place to stay. But the purpose of the Courage House is we at Courage believe that the children cannot fix themselves until they can be themselves, right? So they were rejected from someone or somewhere because of who they are. So we want to fix that part of the hole in their heart so that they can start focusing on the trauma that they've been through with children or young adults that are like them and not have to worry about acting or talking or being a certain way because they won't be judged then.
Part of bringing in support is, like many nonprofits in the city, doing lots of fundraising. And you guys have a gala coming up on the 2nd with Dennis and Judy Shepherd, which is quite remarkable to bring the two of them to Milwaukee. How important and, you know, how, you know, if there was any surprise, how did this come to be to reach out to Dennis and Judy to show their support for something like this in Milwaukee?
I've never personally seen them speak in person, but I was researching. And when they go out and speak around the world, Judy's message is love your children, don't throw them to the curb. And it's perfect for what exactly we're trying to do at Courage MKE. When I got the phone call that they told their team to put it on their calendar without even looking at their calendar, I almost fell out of my chair. You know, with it being the 20th anniversary of Matthew Shepherd's passing or brutal attack, I thought it was like a shot in the dark. But they're coming next Wednesday. I am very nervous to meet them. I feel like when I get them from the airport, I'm going to start bawling. But Matthew was only a year older than me when he passed away. So it's very near and dear in my heart. And it's very humbling that they're so passionate about coming here.
Absolutely. And Michael, this is where we're going to bring you in, because part of the gala and the message with Courage Milwaukee is putting on a production of the Laramie Project. So for anyone who's unfamiliar, can you explain the play and what compelled you to be involved in it in this way?
Well, the play, the Laramie Project, when I was living in New York City as an actor, using that as my home base, but raised in Wisconsin. At the time, there was an up-and-coming not-for-profit group called the Tectonic Theater Company. They decided, we're going to go to Laramie, Wyoming, because they heard about this happening, and we're going to interview the people of Laramie, and we're going to put together over 200 interviews, and we're going to streamline that down, and we're going to try to give an unslanted look at the reaction of the community to Matthew Shepherd's passing or brutal death slash hate crime. And when it came back and opened off-Broadway, there was a reverberation that sort of went throughout the theatrical community, at least in the country, and it's been produced many times over. I said to the cast yesterday that it sort of, at a time, became a museum piece in a way, a time to look back on. And now you look at it now and the actors reading yesterday, unfortunately, it is as prescient as it ever was 20 years ago and as now as it ever was. So Brad, my great friend Lisa Klimczak, her husband Chris, they have two beautiful children. Celeste Guzzi works for and with and wants to help Courage Milwaukee. She's 18 years old. Their passion for Courage Milwaukee sort of brought me into the fold on this project.
When you're going over this play with the actors before its premiere, some of them maybe were 3 or 4 years old at the time this happened, or not even alive.
Right.
How do you find that they're connecting to this? As you mentioned, it is still a connecting play.
We have someone in the cast from the Milwaukee High School of the Arts, Shanika Jackson, who can relate to this like nobody's business because she is of that age. There are the Brotherhood Boys who act around Milwaukee. it hits everyone in a different way. It hits me in a gut punch way because it's so on the surface. But I think for everyone in that room, straight, gay, whatever they identify as, there's something that everyone can relate to.
And overall, that is the goal here in Milwaukee, to educate people about the problem of homeless youth, about the issues that still surround the circumstances of Matthew Shepard's attack, his death, the climate that is happening today. So
right.
With this leading up to the House opening its doors to the youth that need it, how do you hope these events, you know, with Dennis and Judy Shepard, the Laramie Project, how do you hope it will resonate with people who perhaps weren't thinking about these kind of things before?
You know, since we started, we really infiltrated the LGBT community. Part of our strategic plan this year was to go beyond that. When I'm telling people about this play or about Judy and Dennis coming to our gala, a lot of people outside of the community don't know about it or them. So then I start my elevator spiel to them, and a lot of times you can see the emotion in their face, whether it's just their eyes turning red or their eyes welling up with tears. And it goes back to, if you're not in it, you have no idea. My son is lucky enough to be working with Michael on this, and yesterday he came home and he said, I didn't think that I was going to feel what I felt when everyone was reading their parts. And he knows who Matthew is. He knows who Judy and Dennis are. But feelings make change happen, right? So I really hope that everyone that comes to this play can feel that and understand that that message that Judy and Dennis are bringing to erase hate. And it goes beyond the LGBTQ plus community, right? But that's what we're focused on. But I really hope that once everyone comes to this production, they're going to see what we need to do to make things better.
I also think that off of what you're saying, I sent out an email when we decided to move forward with Laramie Project to some actors. What we ended up with in the room are 22 of some of the community's finest actors who are all giving of their time freely because of their interest in the piece, the message it can convey. Plus, there are great acting roles. There's that too. Actors want to act. But, you know, hopefully that a wider community will come to this as a theatrical event, because it's a very, I hate to say, entertaining story. It's a very interesting story unto itself. But yes, that it will open the doors to bringing more people into understanding what the story is and informing them of what Courage MKE is. It's a great, great opportunity, I think, for that.
Well, on that note, let's close it out with a scene from the Laramie Project, if you could introduce it for us.
Sure. There are over 70-plus characters in the play represented. I just wanted to share a little bit of moment. Dennis Shepard's statement as Matthew's father. My son Matthew did not look like a winner. He was rather uncoordinated and wore braces from the age of 13 until the day he died. However, in his all too brief life, he proved that he was a winner. On October 6th, 1998, my son tried to show the world that he could win again. On October 12, 1998, my firstborn son and my hero lost. On October 12, 1998, my firstborn son and my hero died 50 days before his 22nd birthday. I keep wondering the same thing that I did when I first saw him in the hospital. What would he have become? How could he have changed his piece of the world to make it better? Matt officially died in the hospital in Fort Collins, Colorado. He actually died on the outskirts of Laramie, tied to a fence. You, Mr. McKinney, and your friend, Mr. Henderson, left him out there by himself, but he wasn't alone. There were his lifelong friends with him, friends that he had grown up with. You're probably wondering who those friends were. First, he had the beautiful night sky and the same stars and moon that we used to see through a telescope. Then he had the daylight and the sun to shine on him. And through it all, he was breathing in the scent of pine trees from the snowy range. He heard the wind, the ever-present Wyoming wind, for the last time. He had one more friend with him. He had God. And I feel better knowing he wasn't alone. Matt's beating, hospitalization, and funeral focus worldwide attention on hate. Good is coming out of evil. People said enough is enough. I miss my son, but I am proud to be able to say that he is my son. Judy has been quoted as being against the death penalty. It has been stated that Matt was against the death penalty. Both of these statements are wrong. Matt believed that there were crimes and incidents that justify the death penalty. I, too, believe in the death penalty. I would like nothing better than to see you die, Mr. McKinney. However, this is the time to begin the healing process, to show mercy to someone who refused to show any mercy. Mr. McKinney, I am going to grant you life. As hard as it is for me to do so because of Matthew. Every time you celebrate Christmas, a birthday, the 4th of July, remember that Matt isn't. Every time you wake up in your prison cell, remember that you had the opportunity and the ability to stop your actions that night. You robbed me of something. Very precious, and I will never forgive you for that. Mr. McKinney, I give you life in the memory of one who no longer lives. May you have a long life, and may you thank Matthew every day for it.
Brian Slutkowski and Michael Stebbins, I think that's a rather poignant note to end on. I want to thank you both for coming here, and best of luck with the gala, with the house, and with the Laramie Project, of course.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Brad Schlichowski is co-founder and executive director of Courage Milwaukee, a local organization that's working to help the city's homeless LGBT youth. Michael Stebbins is an actor and director who's staging the reading of the Laramie Project tonight at the Cabot Theater. It's taking place in Milwaukee's Third Ward.
Courage Milwaukee will host a gala this Friday with keynote speakers Dennis and Judy Shepherd, parents of Matthew. There's more information at wuwm.com.